Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the PRS table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Look, we are so excited to be back with you. Again, we're talking tonight from the same subject we were talking about last night or last week. We're talking about financial healing. Get moving toward you. Barry, we see you out there. Thank you for being with us, good brother. Look, we are in episode two because we couldn't get it all out in episode one. So this is what we're going to be talking about, not just for tonight, as if it's going to be over, but we're also going to be talking about it next week, talk about it the week after that, because there is something important going on. There's something special going on. I think there is a move of God that is happening because I'm seeing something. I'm seeing something. What am I seeing? I'm seeing how there's some people that are sick. I'm seeing how there's some people that are going through certain things. And the reality is going through are not just financial. And so if we're going through, if people are going through some things from a financial standpoint, that's one thing. If they're going through situations of a physical standpoint, that's another thing. If they're going through something of a spiritual standpoint, that's another thing. If they're going through something from a mental standpoint, another thing. I want to suggest to all of you who are listening, you know, we are talking about financial healing because PRF, we focus on finances. That's one of the three areas: possessions, resources, and finances. But here's what God just keeps showing us. These different areas that I just mentioned, those other three in addition to the financial, God has a desire to heal his folks. I think there's there's this misconception out there, if you will, that it has to be one thing or the other. Don't you know how big God is? So if you're going through something that's financial, spiritual, God has the ability to heal you of both of them. Praise God, he is bigger than our thoughts. So as we continue tonight, as we continue in this series, we really want to just continue to offer people, offer you who are listening, the chance just to learn what it just may take for you to get that financial healing that you've been waiting on for God. Maybe God is waiting on you. Maybe it's time to get moving towards your healing. Maybe it's time for you to say enough is enough. I don't know what it's going to take, but I just know when I read this book, when I continue to read the scriptures that God just will not let us out of until we just totally, totally deal with it. And he'll tell us when to stop. But for now, we're just going to continue to deal with it. So let me do something a little different tonight. I'm going to throw out some things, and I want to just start off with maybe a longer introduction, if I will. And I want you to think about the questions that I'm asking, that I'm about to ask. And as you think about the questions that I'm about to ask, I want you to call in. Call in. The area code is 347. The number is 215-7934. If you are listening, I need you to chime in because here's the deal. Those of you who are going through things, those of you who God has brought through things, if you don't open up your doggone mouth and let people hear what God has done, then how are people ever going to know how mighty, how powerful, and how great God is? 347-215-7934. If you're already listening, you want to jump into the conversation, you have a seat at the table. I haven't said that in a while. But we allow people who call into this show, people who listen to this show, to have a seat at the table. It's important because we recognize that there's a lot of people that have not had a seat at the table. So again, the telephone number to call in, to be a part of the conversation, not just listen, but be a part of the conversation to help us move this thing from conversation to dialogue. See, it takes more than one person. It takes more than two people. It takes several of us to really get into a really deep, constructive dialogue so that you can get what God has out there for you. Again, 347-215-7934 is the number we'll bring into the conversation. Next thing is this. If you're listening, you want our online listeners, we thank God for all of our online listeners. You can connect with us through Facebook while the show is going on. So if you go to our Facebook page, it's PRF Teaching Ministry, or if you're looking at it, facebook.com/PRF, that'll get you to it. Go ahead and post some comments. We'll read your comments on there just like you did last week. And so let me throw this out here to us. Do you believe that there are hurting people out here? Simple question. See, these conversations really start with simple questions. They don't start at the hard part. They start with the simple questions, y'all. Do you believe that there are hurting people, people that are hurting financially, especially in this world that we live in? Do you believe that there are people that are hurting, and I'm going to say hurting financially, that are in need of God stepping in and not just taking control of the situation, but helping to transform the situation, to bring healing to those particular people in their situation? It may be you. Do you believe that there are people that are hurting in the state that you live in? Do you believe that there are people that are hurting in the community that you live, or the community that you hang out in, or your mama's community, if you're listening, or your daddy's community? Do you believe that? Do you believe that there are people that are hurting in your church? Do you believe that there are people that are dealing with some stuff, hurting financially in your own family? Do you believe that, or do you know, if it's you, that are in need of God's financial healing? If you've answered yes to any of those questions, I'm glad you're listening. Because the next question after that, if you answered yes and you're honest about it, the next thing that I would say, the next thing that I'll post to you is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And see, I have to say this, I have to put it like that, what are you going to do about it? Because something has to happen. We're going to continue to keep talking about it. We're going to continue to keep saying it. See, if you go to the book of Acts after the Holy Spirit came, when Peter and the other apostles and the others who were in the upper room, when they started speaking in unknown languages, stick with me. As they started speaking in unknown languages, in unknown tongues, and those other folks heard them and understood what they were saying, the next thing that happened was Peter stood up with the other 11, and then he just starts breaking down the history. He starts talking to them about what transpired before Christ. He starts talking about things that happened in their history. He connected with them because he was talking about things that they knew about. When he was talking about King David, talking about a king that they knew about. And then the Bible goes on. Go read it for yourself. So the Bible then goes on to say, and their hearts were pricked. See, he kept talking until their hearts were pricked. Once their hearts were pricked, then that was an opportunity for them to respond. Once they responded, he didn't just stop there, because sometimes that initial response can be just perceived as you felt good. it could be perceived as I just go here. It could be perceived as you were just feeling some kind of way. It could be perceived that you're responding because other folks have responded. And let's not act like, my brothers and my sisters, let's not act like we don't respond when other folks respond. There are some people that know that they should be taking some of the PRF learning sessions from us. But there are some people that are waiting to hear from somebody else that it worked for them. Well, the reality is all you got to do is contact us. We'll tell you who it's working for. But a lot of times we, especially as believers, are waiting for other folks to do something, and then we'll jump on it. For those of y'all who've been in church for a long time and remember when revivals were going on, and I'm sure it still happens today, and they put the young people, y'all know some of y'all got this experience, y'all sat up on what's called the mourner's bench in the, on the front row, and then at the end of the service, when the preacher opens up the doors of the church, right, then he may speak to one of those little young folks that's standing, sitting up there on that front row, on that front pew. You need to give your Christ life. It's not too young, young brother. It's not too soon, young brother. It's not too early, little young lady. And then one of them goes up. Now, all these kids up on the front row, all 12 of them. Once that one goes up, kids don't want to be left behind. Don't want to feel like I'm missing out on something. And I've heard the story over and over. So there comes another child that goes up while one is up there. And then another one says, I don't want to be sitting here by myself. So then they go up. And the next thing you know, the whole mourner's bench has been cleared out. And everybody's standing up there. Because that's just a human nature type of thing. We follow people. And I'm not saying anything bad about the experience as if God wasn't moving on their heart. But that's a reality. So when I look at what happened in Acts chapter 2, 37, Peter's words pierced their heart. And they said to him and the other apostles, what should we do? 38 says, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promises to you and to your children and even to your Gentiles, all who have been called by our Lord our God. And I like this part. See, you got to continue to read. When we call ourselves reading the Bible, we can't just stop all the time where we want to stop because the message sounds good right there. The next verse says this, y'all. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners, crooked generation. And here's something that we hear about all the time. Those who believe what Peter has said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. A lot of believers can tell us that 3,000 believers, 3,000 people accepted Christ on that day, believed in Christ on that day. But I like to focus on how did they get there? See, we're talking tonight about financial healing, get moving towards it. That means if we're looking for God to heal us in these areas, especially in this area of possessions, resources, or even finances, then we just don't sit there and wait for it to come. We got to get moving towards it. And so going back to Acts chapter 2, why I'm bringing this up is this. We are going to continue to keep saying whatever God has for us to say in the scriptures that he has for us to use until it pierces your heart. See, we're not going to grow weary, right? We're not going to grow weary with well-doing. We're going to continue to keep saying it, because the reality is we don't know who's out there listening. So if we just believe just because we're saying it that you're going to get it and then that we're reaching everybody, no. I mean, yeah, 20,000 plus folks, that's a lot of folks. But if the same 20,000 folk are not listening every single week, for me to just mention this one time means that I'm automatically putting people into a position where they're not able to hear this. So we're going to continue to keep talking about financial healing. We're going to continue to keep encouraging folks to get moving towards whatever that it is. See, unless we have a conversation, that's why we want folks to feel free to talk about this openly. You don't have to give your name. But unless you're willing to have the conversation, whether you have it with us here at the PRF table, whether you have it at another time with any of us with the PRF Teacher Ministry or PRF Institute, or whether you have it with somebody else, if you never have the conversation, nothing's going to happen. Look at what's going on in Acts chapter 2. Peter is speaking to them. You can say he was preaching all day long. I'm not going to debate anybody on that. But what he's actually doing is he's trying to connect with them as the Spirit is leading. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to connect with you, those of you who are listening, those of you who God has sent this way across the PRF table tonight. And if you're listening, there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity for God to do something. But I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, there has to be a piercing of the heart. And once your heart is pierced, once you hear Spirit of God coming from what we're talking about, once you hear it, then that's going to put you just like the rest of them. Remember, this is the early church we're talking about from Acts chapter 2, right? And what their response was, brothers, what should we do? See, listen, it's not good enough that you sit here and you listen to me and Mama Chantal and Adia and Brother Feaster week after week. It's not just good enough that you listen. There's coming a time, it may have already passed, I hope it hasn't for you, but there's a time out there, there's a time that's ordained by God where you have to do the same thing like these brothers did back in Acts chapter 2. You have to be to the point where you say, what do I need to do today? And what they were telling me was they're working on something and they want somebody, they're trying to help somebody with a credit situation. But they don't want to just help them to obtain this thing that they're trying to get with their credit. They said, Dr. Dunlap, we're trying to help them for the long term. So we're looking for what can we do right now to put in place, and let's do this for, say, 6 months. And then after the 6 months, let's go to a year. And that's what I'm talking about. Something had to come up where this person who contacted us said, we need to do more. We can't just do the bare minimum. We can't just do enough so that, oh, I go and see Dr. Dunlap, go talk to the PRF Teacher Ministry. Then I go report back. I tell whoever this person is, this institution that we're talking about, that I've had this contact with Dr. Dunlap in the PRF Institute or PRF Teacher Ministry. And then after a couple of weeks, when they get that thing, they're trying to get that it, then that's all that matters. See, what this person was saying to me is, we're not just going to let them just get this thing and then just forget about it. That's how I look at Peter. Listen, when you go and you look at what Peter said, Peter started talking to them in verse 17. Verse 22, he said, people, listen. Verse 29, he says, dear brothers and sisters, think about this. Each one of those things that I just mentioned to you, those were like beginning points after he stopped talking about one other section. Then after he gets into the part of his lesson, his preaching moment, his exercise, whatever you want to call it, he starts talking about Christ. Then you get all the way to verse 37 and Peter's words pierce their heart. And he tells them what they need to do. He tells them what they need to do, just like we're saying, we need you to get moving towards it. But we have to have you involved in the conversation first. If you don't get involved in the conversation, which way are you going? Are you even moving? Forget about moving towards it. Are you even moving? And if you're moving, are you moving backwards? We don't want folks moving backwards. We want people moving forward towards whatever it is that God has for you so that you can receive the financial healing. So let's not just focus on, the fact that, oh, 3,000 got saved. That's important to the conversation. But what I'm bringing out to y'all is this. Let's look at verse 37. When they said, what should we do? And for those of you who do not know, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, that is one of the foundational scriptures for the PRF ministry. And understand that that is when the believers formed a community. They didn't form a community until they had some conversation first. They didn't form a community until their hearts got pierced. Form a community until they said, what shall we do? And they didn't form a community, good Lord, they didn't form a community until after they believed. So let me just throw a plug in for y'all who are listening. You got to believe that you can move forward towards your financial healing. You have to move, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, I can believe all day for you. But if you don't believe it, what's going to happen when things get a little bit tough? Because as we have said so many times before, whenever we talked about healing, we said healing is not a miracle. That's not a miracle. Healing is a process. And so if you're looking for financial healing, then you have to be looking for the process. If you want a financial miracle, I don't know if I have a show about that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the process of healing. Because the truth is this. So many people's financial situation, whether they're really bad situations or things that people just haven't done yet, it takes a process. People just don't do stuff just because, right? If you haven't checked, we do some of our financial ministry needs assessments, and we ask, when the last time you checked your credit? It's been plus 2 years. Now, I don't know just by answering that one question why they haven't checked it in over 2 years. But when you have a bunch of debt, that says something. We got to have a further conversation about that, especially when it's free. I mean, literally, it's free to get your credit report. In some places, some states, Georgia is one of them, allow you to get 2 free per year. See, that's one of those things where we're talking about it, get moving towards it. You have to take the first step. Even when Jesus Christ healed, everybody he healed had to take a step towards their healing. Everybody that I'm aware of. If you know something that it happened different, feel free. You can email me, dunlap@prfministry.org. The ones that we've encountered, the scriptures that we've looked at, we continue to see the same thing. It's about getting moving towards it. So if you're looking to receive your financial healing, then we're trying to get you to try to open up people so that you can set these things right if these things are wrong. Repair those things in your financial profile that need to be repaired. One of the things about healing is where, and I've said this definition in various venues, healing by nature is a process, a natural process in which the body heals itself. Natural process. So that means the amount of financial issues that a lot of people are going through, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, is not natural. But although it's not natural, that it still doesn't take the fact away that there's stuff that we have to do along with it. So let me just get ready to give you a couple of more things as we go and we come back from a little break. So we're going to take a few moments and let you get some water, let you digest and what we've been saying so far. Kind of take a moment to just say, let me see if what's being said, am I allowing it to pierce my heart? And if I'm allowing it to pierce my heart, am I ready to to bring the question out. Okay, look, what is it that I need to do? The reality is, we don't want folks continuously going through a lot of the same things over and over and over again. What we really want is for you to get it. Then once you get it, then what we're looking for after you get it is for you to help somebody else to get it. And what happens after you help somebody else to get it is they'll help somebody else to get it. And after they help somebody else to get it, then they'll help somebody else to get it. And this thing becomes a matter of discipleship, not just listening to the PRF table, but it becomes a matter of discipleship. So look, we're going to come back in a couple minutes. Sisters, look, we are back. This is the PRF table. I'm your host, Dr. Dave Dunlap, and we are just giving you a little break, and we're bringing it back so we can go into this last half hour of the show. We're talking tonight about financial healing and get moving towards it. This is episode 2. For those of you who may have just joined in for the second half of this show, we're talking about financial healing, and we're trying to get people to understand that in order to get your financial healing, the thing that has to happen is you have to get moving towards it. And so we're trying to offer people that chance. We're offering people that opportunity to learn what it may just take for you to get your financial healing in whatever area of your life. And not just your financial healing, but just talk about your PRF profile, your possessions, your resources, and your finances. So, you know, we really just want to focus on what needs to be done and just be about the Father's business. So I asked the question, you know, what are you going to do about it? That's what I asked earlier. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And what we're looking for is for people to really understand that as we are moving towards financial healing, all you have to do is take one step at a time. One step at a time. It is not something that you have to worry about taking 15, 20 steps. It's not like you come to a counselor and you say, look, I'm having these problems, and then they say, okay, you need to run down this list. You need to do these 15 things, you should be okay. Take these 9 lessons of financial ministry training, you'll be okay. No. You don't need all that. You don't need all that. That's not what we need. What we really need is to just take one faith step at a time. When you take one faith step at a time, God will meet you wherever you are according to your faith. So let us transition second half of the show, and I am so happy that we have Chitara Sherwood, one of the other hosts of this show, with us, and we're bringing her to the table as she kicks off her high heels, I guess, and takes her seat, her rightful seat at the table. Chitara, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How's everybody?
Oh, my goodness. See, y'all be acting like I'll be catching y'all off guard when I be doing that, but I don't know. I see y'all. Jesus, we have to bring them in. So listen, coming to the table, and what we are focusing on, you know, just like from last week, and I appreciate what you were doing last week as far as, you know, posting those questions or comments on Facebook. That was just excellent. Another way of just bringing others into this conversation. But what we're really trying to do is get people to focus on just taking that first step. See, it's not good enough, Chitara, in my opinion, to give people a whole bunch of steps to take and say, go ahead and do them. See, when you don't know if they even pass the first step, you know, it's kind of like we don't see it out, well, some of us as parents, right, and as educators, it's just not acceptable for you not to pass first grade, but then we put you in the second grade, right? So why do it with what we're talking about?
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
We just can't do it. We have to do something just a little bit different and give people an opportunity to be in a whole different way. Go ahead and jump in.
I was just going to say, and just like with that comparison that you just gave, you can't just pass the student on. They have to be ready. They have to be prepared. So what are they going to do? What are the individuals going to do? The students, what are we going to do? What are the teachers going to do in order to get the student prepared to move on? So you can't just give them all of the books at the beginning of the school year and say, here, this is the stuff you need to do to go to the second grade. You actually have to make sure they're prepared to learn, and then you give it to them piece by piece. So that was a good illustration.
And I had not even thought about giving it piece by piece, but you know that's how we operate with the PRS ministry, right? In the PRS ministry, we don't give everybody all their information up front. So we have, for example, in one of our sessions with Will, it's four sessions, right? Giving them everything up front is just my method. It's like, why? Because sometimes giving it all can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Really don't want to be, you see what I'm saying? I'm just, my heart just hurts for a lot of people. And I'll continue to say, like I said, from Acts chapter 2, you know, we'll continue to keep saying whatever we need to say until it pierces people's hearts. And once it pierces people's hearts, people will then say, okay, Charles, what I need to do. Brother Dunlap, please tell me what I need to do. And once you do that, you have to know that God is going to be right. And let me encourage somebody. Let me say this. Now, I may have said it last week, but again, I'm going to keep saying it until I don't need to say it anymore. We may say what we say. We know it's good. We know God is in it, and you just don't get it right now. Right? Or that person is dealing with shame. You have to you know, allow them on their heart or maybe ever with you. Just embarrassed, whatever the case may be. So we keep going. We keep going and we keep going and we keep going. People have to be encouraged to know that once you take that step, God is going to meet you there. And then you have something that you as a professor, right? I tell them, this is what I tell them, even my own child. You don't have to worry about following along with everybody else. One of the greatest things that I try to encourage students to do is to get an associate's degree in addition to their bachelor's degree, right? If I got to have an associate's degree on my way to the bachelor's degree, I now have two pieces of paper. I now have two different accomplishments. What is wrong with that? To me, I think that's a great thing. Because here's the thing. What if, we're not talking about what if you stop going to college and you say, oh, at least I have an associate's degree. No. But you have an accomplishment that now will help somebody else that may not ever make it to a four-year school or get to a four-year degree. And as parents, you have parents and grandparents and relatives that may be up in age that may not live to see you make that to that bachelor's degree moment, associate's degree. So why not just come out of ourselves and go towards that mark that's here, even when we have our idea on the full prize, which is the bachelor's degree? You don't get to a master's without getting a bachelor's, right? You don't become a doctor without at least getting a bachelor's. So that whole mindset, right, of, well, I don't want to get that because all I want is my bachelor's degree. No. Our daughter, the one's about to graduate a couple of days, she wants to be a doctor. We are going to be so proud and so happy watching her walk across the stage on Saturday because it's an accomplishment. So we do those things for those other, we have this mindset, Shatara, for all these other things going on in our life. Why not take that same mindset and apply it towards our healing?
It makes sense. It makes total sense. I mean, I don't have an argument for that or against that because I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody has to start somewhere. To start somewhere. You can. And then don't limit yourself. If you can get an associate's degree, you can get a bachelor's degree. If you can attend one class, you can attend enough classes to, and everybody has to go to some class. Even if you got a job, you have to go to orientation. You have to go to an orientation class. You have to learn something about how to do the job. So if you can attend one class, you can attend four classes or five classes. You can get an associate's degree. You can get a bachelor's degree. You can get a bachelor's. Mm-hmm. You can get a master's. So, you know, there's no limit. Yes, it may take me, you know, 3 years to get an associate's degree. That's okay. The key is whatever you want to do requires an associate's degree and take steps towards attaining that.
That's right.
And don't
stop
there. Don't let that be your finish line. You know, some of our challenges, I'm going to say, and I say our as a society is there are a lot of people who look at the first hurdle, and that's their goal, is to look at the first hurdle. But really, you want to finish the race. That's the ultimate goal, finish the race. But you can't just, I made it over the first hurdle, so, you know, I'm going to rest right here. You may have to rest after that first hurdle, though. But don't let that be the end of your race. Like, you take your rest, but then get back up and keep going. Get to the second hurdle. Get to the third hurdle. Get to the finish line. We can do it. It's a process. We have talked about processes. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process. You can't look at, you know, oh, I want to be a doctor, and yeah, that 12 years for me to get through school. I have to do residency. I have all of these loans. You want to be a doctor, start with the first step. Finish high school. Enroll in college. Whatever your first step is after you decide that, take your first step. Worry about the first step. That's today. Let tomorrow worry about itself. That's what the Bible says. You don't worry about tomorrow, but you just take the step for today that needs to be taken
mm-hmm.
in the right direction.
My goodness. You know, we were talking from 2 Kings chapter 5 last week, and I'm going to just point out verse 10, regardless of where we were last week, because, you know, everybody can go back and read it. But verse 10 was the one of the things that really hit me over the last couple of days. And what it says is, Elijah sent a messenger out to him with this message: go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy. So for those who weren't with us last week, we were talking about the story of Naaman. Naaman was a great commander of this kingdom that was against Israel and others around. Naaman had leprosy, a little girl who was captured from Israel. She tells Naaman's wife, I wish that he would go see the prophet
right.
and get healed. And then, he goes, and I'm cutting out stuff, but y'all can read it. And then he gets to Israel, and then after he gets to Israel, he finally makes it to the prophet. And the thing about it is there was a whole bunch of steps that had to occur, Shatara,
uh-huh.
before he even got to the prophet. That's what
right.
I think sometimes people are missing. See, so many people are saying and getting fed, if you will, this swamp land and believing that all I got to do is just call on the name of Jesus.
Right.
And my financial problems are going to be straight. No. You call on the name of Jesus, and they may get straight, but may not get straight right after you call on the name of Jesus.
Right.
And then the second thing is, so many people come to church in financial straits, they want to come up for prayer. Please continue to come up for prayer. But I'm going to go back and say, as you come up for prayer, has your heart, when your heart said, I need to come up for prayer, just see if you can get your heart to say, I need to ask for somebody for some help.
Right.
Or when you ask for prayer, maybe you can ask for prayer to have the courage to ask for the help.
Yeah.
See, it can be a bad thing just to keep, for people to keep, those of y'all that are listening, to keep getting the same thing. Just trust God. Just trust God. Tell me what the heck that means. When your bank
right.
account is showing zero or negative, tell me what that means, just trust God. How do you walk just trust God out?
Right.
Can you imagine Naaman? Can you imagine Naaman when the little girl told, when he got the word from the little girl, go see the prophet?
Mm-hmm.
Now Naaman wasn't, he wasn't of Israel. He wasn't following our God or anything like that. But can you imagine him saying, I'm just going to trust God on
right.
this. I ain't going to see the prophet.
Right.
We would say, man, what was wrong with him? So I'm going to say boldly, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you when the help is out there if you don't go and get it? If you don't forget getting it, if you don't take the necessary, I can't even put an S on that one, Sitar. If you don't put a
right.
step forward, and there's a whole bunch of people that I know, that you know, have not taken
mm-hmm.
a step. So we're going to continue to keep talking to the folks who have not taken the step. Until we know,
right.
until God shows us, they've taken a step. And so then maybe we can go on to something else. We can't get the planning and saving if you ain't willing to take the first step to contact the credit reporting agencies to get all three of your credit reports.
Right.
Ain't no need of talking about tithing when you haven't even taken the step towards being a faithful giver. Tithing is an act of giving. So unless you understand giving, then you can't understand tithing. I don't care how much anybody from the church continues to put forth tithing before giving.
Right. So what about trusting God and taking the first step? I mean, isn't that part of taking the first step? Just trusting that God is gonna lead you or put whoever in your path that you need or send someone, whatever it may be. Because even when Naaman, the girl was there. If he wasn't willing to listen to what she said and take the first step, then he would not be healed. So in trusting God, you have to. In trusting God, you have to be stepping, be ready to step when you're supposed to. So if that person that God is the first step, really, that person is the first step towards getting that financial healing, but you're sitting, you know, you just going to church and saying, I trust God, but that person is at the bank, or that person is at the credit counseling office, or they at the VA, or whatever it is, the financial management class that they're offering for free at the rec center. What if that person is part of your first step? And because you're saying, oh, I just trust God, but I'm sitting here trusting God, I'm not willing to take that first step, you missed the blessing. You totally missed God's plan.
Right.
So trusting God, you know, and taking that step should be happening simultaneously.
Let me piggyback on that. In order to trust God, that's an act of faith all by itself.
Right.
It starts in your mind. And here's what's crazy.
Okay.
Naaman wasn't really trusting in God. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't following
right.
God's practices and promises.
But
he was trusting.
Go ahead.
Right. He was trusting what was said.
Right.
I mean, and I don't even know when I read the story. I don't even know when I read the story how bad his leprosy was. But just knowing what we know about leprosy, right?
Uh huh.
Nobody wants that.
Right.
I
but
ain't never seen
in
leprosy.
I misspoke. He trusted in the result, the outcome that he was looking for. Let me say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trusting God to do a thing for you, let me rephrase it because I think this makes more sense. If you're trusting in God to do a thing for you, then you have to trust that if you ask and faith believing and you believe that God is and you trust in him, you have that faith, it requires you to take a step of faith and move
mm-hmm.
in that direction. So he was trusting that he was going to get, you know, this girl said, hey, I know the prophet. You can have this, you know, there's a prophet there. You can get healed because that is what he wanted. So if you want, you know, financial literacy, if you want to repair your credit, if you want to balance your checkbook, you want to develop a solid budget, if you want to get life insurance, send your kids to
mm-hmm.
college, do a savings account, start a savings account. You know, you have to take a step. You pray about it, you know, pray about it, but it still requires you to take a step, like you said. You have to move forward because you're sitting there saying, I trust God. And God is able, don't get me wrong, God is able to do the impossible. If you want something, and God said he has you covered, and he says, you draw to him, he'll draw to you. It requires you to take a step. If you're going to believe
Absolutely.
Him and believe he's doing it for you, you have to, it requires action. That's it. It requires action. And even Naaman, if you want to take him, and he wasn't a believer in God, But he even knew enough to say, hey, I want this healing. I need to do something about it.
Right. That's right. It starts. There has to be the start.
Mm-hmm.
And let me, I want us to encourage some folks. You have it
mm-hmm.
in you.
That's
the beautiful thing about it. Everything that all of us need for God to heal us financially or to go through that process, everybody has it in us. And here's how
mm-hmm.
I say that. I say that with all confidence. God created mankind in his image and after his likeness.
Yeah.
In their image, he created he them. So when I look back at Naaman, right, and I see how Naaman was, how I think and envision what leprosy looks like,
mm-hmm.
that's not the image of God. So evidently something else happened. That's not the image that God wants portrayed. And so it's the same thing with finances. So it only makes sense that God was waiting to heal him because that's not how he came out. He didn't come like that. That's not how God made him.
Right.
So it's the same thing as I'm seeing it, as it's revealed to me, with our finances. That's not
yep.
having some of these issues that people are dealing with and going through and that have caused people to commit suicide and to shoot folk. Yeah, let's talk about what's really going on in the world. Let's talk about why certain folk, why people are shooting people in the street in some of our communities. It's about finances. It's about possessions. It's about controlling resources, my block, your block. My territory,
yeah.
my hood. It's all those things is wrapped up into this. And so these are the things that's going on in people's lives. We can't ignore it. We can't
right.
act like these are not the reasons, but we have to try to get people to get to a point where they're actually able to say, okay, look, got it. I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the once somebody says, I need some help, then the next thing we have to do is there has to be people there waiting and available and ready, not just the PRF ministry, but we're definitely, you know, big people in that. But there's some folk that have never heard of us before.
Right.
So what about the people who have never heard of us? And those of you who are listening, you have heard of us. And some people, you ain't going to never get to listen to a show at 8 o'clock on Thursday. Rather scroll up and down on Facebook and talk about a whole bunch of other stuff versus taking 15 to 20 minutes, maybe a day, and listening
mm-hmm.
to the lesson that they can just click on that. You can click and listen to the PRF table and still scroll up and down on Facebook.
That's true.
Or listening to it through some other way. Going onto our website and listening to straight through our web, there's ways that we can do it. So one of the things that I posted, Shatara, last week, and maybe I did it this week, and I said, enough is enough. So here's what I would say. Anybody who's out there listening, if you know somebody that's experiencing financial challenges and you believe that they're going through some financial challenges, or you have that information that they're going through some financial challenges, and you believe that God needs to heal them, and you believe what we've been talking about that we keep saying is God wants to heal his folks, then maybe the question that you can ask them is, what's the first step? What's the first step that you're going to take? Think about it. Friday come around. Or, matter of fact, Thursday. Thursday's a good day. Man, I sure can't wait to get the payday. I can't wait till tomorrow until I get payday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, first question is why? And then normally when somebody says that, it's because they're really in an urgent need for the money, or they can't wait to get that money in their hand.
Right.
Because some stuff that they really got to take care of, or whatever the case may be. But then once they say that part, they say, well, what steps are you willing to take to, you know, not have to be in such an urgent state? I promise you, Shatara, it's a good thing to know that you're going to get paid so that you can, you know, take care of your bills and all that kind of stuff. But it's a better thing to not really know, oh, tomorrow's the second Friday.
Payday.
Oh, it's payday. That's where we want folks to be. That's where
that's
we want
right.
folks to be. Tomorrow's payday?
That's
man,
right.
I didn't even know it. There was a period in my life where I had that, like, I had it like that. It was like, oh, tomorrow's payday? Because it was so good, not because of anything that I necessarily had done, but because God has set stuff up, and I believe it's because of the things that we're teaching other folks.
Right.
Somebody asked this question, Star, Ernestine. She was talking about how, you know, how do we do this with it, talking about this trust thing. How does it start with the mind? How does this whole thing about trusting God start with the mind?
Okay.
I'll let you take a stab at it if you want to take a stab at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Are you asking me? Well, because you have to make up in your mind that you're going to trust God. I'm gonna start with that. You have to decide that you want to change your current situation. And in order to, once you make that up in your mind, your next step is how are you going to do it? If you're going to then lean to your faith, then you have to decide that you will trust God and that God is going to, you know, so that's the route you're going to take. When you do that, it still requires some thought on your part because you have to, again, like I said, you're trusting God, but you have to be willing, you have to be standing at the ready to make that step. So if, like I going back to that scenario I gave, if God's plan is to send somebody in your path, but you're not thinking, okay, the financial management class that's going on for free at the city council or whatever, or the city, the town hall, you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to go there because that is what I'm trying to do. So why not make myself available or gather and let God use what you have? That information you have might be what God is using. So it requires you to make up in your mind that you want a different situation. That's my answer.
Hey, I like it. It makes perfect sense. I feel that making up we have to make up our mind. Let's go back to the scripture. I don't think anybody can take from what we were talking about with Naaman that Naaman did not make up his mind. How do we know he made up his mind? The first way we know he made up his mind was the fact that he went to the king and said, "Hey, king, let me tell you what this little girl said from Israel that we done came and brought captive. She said, go see the prophet." That the king said, "Go see the prophet," meant that Naaman had made up his mind. And so it's a good thing if people know that you've made your mind. You know, it's a good thing they've made up your mind to follow Christ.
Yeah.
But it's a better thing to make up your mind to live how Christ wants you and I to live, especially when it comes to our finances. So just like if you can make such an important decision like giving your life to Christ, I really believe that we got the power within us to make a decision to taking that first step towards our financial healing.
Amen.
I mean, maybe it's me, but I just know that there are so many people out here that just need to hear that. You got this, y'all.
Yeah.
And that you're not alone. That there's other folks that struggle sometimes with taking that first step. When I go and I look and I know people that have been on drugs, or that have been addicted to alcohol. And then I hear things like, I've been clean, right? They say, I've been clean for the last 5 years. I've been clean for 6 months. I've been clean. I watched Judge Mathis one time. Judge Mathis, excuse me, one time. He said, this one guy said, I've been clean for 30 days. Guess what I say? Hallelujah to the 15 years. Hallelujah to the 5 years. Hallelujah to the 30 days.
Yeah.
None of them is any different. One just has a longer time period than the other. But what it took to get to the 30 years, what it took to get to the 5 years, is the same thing it took to get to the 30 days.
Exactly.
Making up in their mind.
Exactly.
That's what it took. And so, I mean, I want people to get it. I want people to get it. And it's not just me, because there's a whole lot more. I mean, we got 7 lessons with PRF. Barry sent a note on, sent a message and said that he wishes this was daily. I wish that this show was daily too. I wish that we had the opportunity to be on the air every single day. But guess what? Can we do this every single day? Think about it. Can we actually have the PRF table every day? Yes, we can. You know why?
Yes,
because
we
what we're paying to be on the air covers every day. But here's the deal. If we're going to be on the air every day, who are we going to talk to? If people want to hear us on the air every day, send us some notes. If there's more than just this Thursday, if there's a better day that works for some folks, send us some information. Let us know. But we can't, we just like with this story, we can't go any further than the conversation. If that little girl wouldn't have opened up her mouth, Naaman would still been there, beating up on folks, all leopard up. It'd have been the same thing. It'd have been the same thing. So, yeah, I'm gonna love the time or the opportunity when it gets to that point when we will actually be in a position where people are desiring to hear all that the PRF table has to offer. All that the PRF ministry has to offer.
Amen.
And you know, like I know, Shatar, once we know, you know, everything that we've done, once we know, we've done it. We trusted God.
Yep.
Regardless
of
how many people call in, but we know people are listening online because we get messages all throughout the show all the time.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Well,
I just want to reiterate.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just want to reiterate that, you know, everybody has the ability. We do have it. And for whatever reason, you may feel discouraged or, you know, downtrodden or stressed out or shamed, whatever it is.
Mm.
But you have the ability. Nobody who cleaned up their credit, people who had bad credit and cleaned it up, the person who managed to maintain their credit and never went down a path that led to bad situation, it's all the same. It's all the same effort.
Right.
What I mean is, so it didn't take any more from that person that is cleaning up their credit than it did take for that person who just followed it from the beginning. Everybody has it in you to do it. It's the taking the first step and trusting that first step and trusting God together, it will lead you to where it is you're to get. We all have it. I don't have it any more than the next person. But, you know, Donald Trump, Lord help me, I can't believe I said that name, but he didn't have any more. His effort and my effort, I have the same effort.
Mm-hmm.
I can do what he did. It's just a matter of me putting forth that effort to be a millionaire.
Right.
So I've been on some other conference calls where people were saying that they wanted to make 100, you know, 100 people in collaboration with whatever kind of business. They want to make 100 millionaires. It's doable. The same amount of effort is required. You have to make up in your mind that that's what you want to do, and it is possible. It is not impossible to you because of your current circumstance. It requires the same amount of effort that it will require me. So please don't feel like, oh, that's easy for you to say. It wasn't always easy for me to say. You can't really say that it's easy for me to say because you don't know my circumstance. What I do know, this much I do know and this much I want you to know, is that I can do it, you can do it, and we all can do it.
That's
just
right.
Keep that in mind.
So we're gonna end on a practical note, Shatara. How about this?
Mm-hmm.
For those who are listening, we want everybody who is listening to either post something on the Facebook page, send the team an email. The email address for the team is admin@prfministry.org, or you can send me an email, Dunlap@prfministry.org. That can be the first step right there. We offer these workshops. We do more than what we've been doing on the radio. This is just a part of the ministry. That's not the whole ministry. So just take that first step and say, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Contact me. Can you help me?
Yeah.
I want something different. I want something more. Just put that in your subject line. You ain't even got to go and put a whole dissertation. You ain't got to put your whole testimony in the subject body of the email. Just put what's going on, and then let that manifest. Because now what I'm going to believe that's going to happen is when you send that email or you post that message on Facebook, and now that requires us to respond.
Right.
And then when we respond, we're not going to respond out of our flesh. We're not going to respond out of our head knowledge. We're going to respond with the Spirit of God leading us. It's going to be, who needs to handle this? Lord, give me some guidance. So if Adia gets the email, right, when it comes in, that doesn't mean Adia needs to be the one to respond and say, tell me what I need to do to help. Adia would say, okay, we got an email. It's from this person. Does anybody feel anything? And then one of us, it may be you. You may say, you know what? Let me take that person. And then you go into prayer and you say, Lord, help me to deal with this person. Because see, before we even approach certain situations, we got to go to God in prayer and say, okay, God, show me what I need to be doing. Because once you start opening up, then we can't just do some old crazy stuff to shut you down. We can't reject you. So I don't care if your credit score is a 200. You're welcome with PRF.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. So I'm done. I'm done for the night. It's been great. God is good. He's ready to do what only He can do, as long as we do the things that we are able to do. And so we've talked a lot about ability tonight. And so thank you, Shatara, for helping guide us someplace that I couldn't guide us to tonight. You did it last week, you did it this week. Last week, I think you made a comment. I can't remember what it was right now. I got so much stuff in my head. But it just took us to a place that we needed to be. I think it was repentance or forgiveness, I think. That's what it was, forgiveness. I think that's what it was last week. But anyway, whatever it was, again, wherever God took us last week was where we needed to go. So
Amen.
Go on our Facebook page, go to our website, see what's going on. The calendar is about to get full over the next couple of weeks. If there's a lesson that you're looking for out there, those of you who are listening, one of the areas that we deal with, all you have to do is say, hey, I want to get in on this. Got a call today, Shatara, from somebody that was at another one of the sessions back in March, if I'm not mistaken, in Georgia, and wants to connect with some other folks to us. That's how it happens.
Thank God.
That's how it happens. So, all right. Well, we are out. Again, thank you, everybody, who's been with us and and go to the Facebook page again and put some comments out there. I'll probably be monitoring the Facebook page for a little while and start engaging some folks and tell somebody about the PRF table. Tell them what's going on here on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll just continue to keep doing what we got to do. And until then, God bless. We will see you. Have a wonderful evening. And Star, we will be talking shortly.
Okay. God bless.
All right.
Good night.
That's why I'm safe.